You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Welcome to episode 48 of Star Wars and Scotch, or this morning it could be called Putting Scotch in My Coffee. Tim and I just watched episode 10 of The Bad Batch, and we hopped on. I think this is a good time for us to record. The problem is... Hi, Tim, by the way.
Hello. Hi.
The problem is that Tim and I are exhausted by the time we're supposed to record in the evenings. So right now, Friday morning seems like a really good time to record.
Yeah, we're on this boomer schedule.
Plus, then we can talk about the new episode and you can watch it and then check it out. Yeah, we are definitely on boomer schedule. So why did you do that? Oh, my God. I get up before my father-in-law and he's 70. So
yikes.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, welcome to episode 48, Star Wars and Scotch. GCX went well. We raised a buttload of money for charity, and we're not done. And yeah, super excited. But here to talk about Star Wars. Before we do that, I am drinking this morning, and so is Tim, delicious King's Coast coffee from kingscoastcoffee.com. I have my King's Coast mug that you can't see, but I promise you, and it's really good.
Nice. So
good.
What are you drinking?
This morning I am drinking Mayday.
Oh, nice. I have the I'm using our new espresso that we haven't released yet. It's very good.
No.
Made a little cappuccino.
Little cappuccino this morning. Did you sprinkle a little bit of stuff on top?
Mm-mm. This is like chocolate coconut milk.
It's like, I was just about to ask you what type of milk.
Yeah, it's like keto friendly like coconut milk, but it's chocolate flavored. Tastes really good.
You don't like oat milk because you said it's a little thick for you, right? And heavy?
No, it's oat.
Not keto friendly.
It's not keto friendly.
Got it.
Sorry. I'm sure it's great, but the nut milk, though, you can take however you want, is delicious.
As an almost 40-year-old man, you say that every time and I crack up.
Yeah.
Nut milk. I don't think there'll be a time in
like when you go down okay, Kevin, when you go down the grocery store aisle and you're in Publix and you're looking in the dairy aisle and you're like, I wonder what kind of nut milk I want. And you're like, I've got almonds, coconut, walnut. You can milk a nut, and that's really cool.
Jim Gaffigan does a bit on milking almonds. But yeah, Tim enjoys nut milk.
I love my nut milk.
Showing his meat on the internet. So,
yeah.
Oh, Speaking of which,
2 degrees away from becoming a porno.
Don't you have a thing going on soon on the internet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got 2 days from now, the 4th of July, Sunday. Releasing new merch. So by the time you guys hear this, the new barbecue merch will be out. So head on over to highscoretees.com and join the family.
You should. I just got a package of stuff from them for the Trevor May stuff.
Oh, nice. Me too. I should have stuff in there as well.
You do. You have a few packages at the office.
Perfect.
I think they came yesterday. Why didn't I bring them to you today? That was silly. Okay. Anyway, Star Wars. Lots of interesting stuff coming through the pipeline. Last few episodes of Bad Batch. Let's start there.
Let's just get that out of the way.
So, we haven't talked about Bad Batch in about 4 weeks or so together. Obviously, we talk about it on our own.
Yeah.
But, the only poignant episode for me in the last few was episode 9. I did enjoy episode 10. I thought it was cool to see Raxus, Separatist World. We've
been there before.
Yes. Yeah. Have we met Avi Singh, though?
No, I think he's new. I don't remember him being on the council when we go to Raxus and Amidala's there and she's like trying to like make peace with the Separatists. I don't remember him in particular. So because they killed his predecessor for him to take control because everybody else was retaliating against the Empire. So he's new. I feel very confident and very good in saying that he's a new character on Raxus that we haven't met before.
And Amidala's ex-boyfriend is from Raxus too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy who was with the banking clan.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, but it was interesting to see a Separatist world post Imperial control. I'm sure we've seen them, but it's very rare.
It was interesting to see something that was from Separatist control right into Imperial control. Like, it was weird that that's like their main base, and there was absolutely no retaliation at all from any type. I was expecting to see like droids show up. I was hoping we'd see like a clanker here or there, but yeah, nothing. I want to know what happened between like when did Raxus stop? Is it like when they pulled all the leadership onto Mustafar? Is that when it stopped?
Yeah. That was the Separatists.
Well, right, but at the same time, but there was nothing left over. Like, where's the remnants of the Separatists? Like, that was the weird part to me.
I think the Separatist alliance still existed, but because the leadership was basically destroyed, except for what's his face was still alive because he's in the last season of Clone Wars, from the Techno Union.
Well, no. He was in the last episode of Clone Wars that happened before the execution of everyone on Mustafar.
Oh, that's true. I keep forgetting. Yep. This is after Mustafar. And
this
that was
is
before.
After. Right. Bad Batch happens after Order 66 and all those events happen. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's super dead. He died.
Yeah. Anakin killed them all.
Yes.
OK, just making sure my timeline was mentally correct. The episode, though, with the Martez sisters coming back was when we saw one of the decommissioned droid factories.
Yes.
So it was fun to see clankers in that one. Again, though, this is feeling like the last season of Clone Wars where we're going to cool places, we're seeing cool stuff, but they're dragging out a story that we all just want answers for.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but the Clone Wars was it was 12 episodes. This is going to be 19, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, but that's the frustrating part is we get a lot of closure very quickly in the live action stuff. But in the animated, it's definitely a lot more drawn out. That's weird to say drawn out and animated together.
It's 16.
Yeah, it just feels weird. Yeah, we have 16 episodes and how many of the 16 are fillers so far? We've had like what feels like four or five like really good filler, like just like we are like, ah, this is a filler episode without any type of story. Because like we learned last episode that Omega is the yin to the yang of Boba Fett.
Boba's Alpha. She's Omega.
Right. And so we know Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, yin and yang. It seems like that was really cool. And then like, you showed me an article, which we can talk about later. But yeah, it's just like we still have yet to learn really anything. I feel like we've only touched on just bits and pieces, but nothing that was just like, wow, this really changes the game. And that's frustrating for me. Like I continue to watch because I love the action, but I continue to watch because I'm really hoping for that next new thing that's going to tie everything together. And I haven't had that aha moment yet.
We also know that there's dissent within the leadership of the Kaminoans.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't say the overall leadership. It's two people. It's the guy who's the governor of the Kaminoans.
Lama Su.
And then we've got the scientist who was with Omega. Whatever her name is.
She's
like
the
chief.
Good,
she's
good
like
one.
Yeah, she's the good one, and Lama Su's the bad one. Quotes. Is that Lama Su?
Lama Su is the leader. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure because like the voice changed and he looked a little different than I remember in episode two. So
yeah, it's Lama Su.
So yeah, Lama Su is definitely in it for the money. Lama Su wants to pay the bills and he wants to continue to keep the Empire happy. The other one, she's definitely like I see the good in everyone and I want to continue. I do this for the science, not for the money.
Is it Ton Wei or Nala? I think it's Ton Wei is the other one.
That sounds right.
Nala Se is the third one in the room.
It's just so funny how we've got like bounty hunters that are hired by two Kaminoans with different objectives for the same person. I think that's hilarious, and they're doing it around each other.
How did you feel about Cad Bane coming back?
So do you remember like way back when Mandalorian? The guys with the spurs when we meet up with what's her name? Finnick for the first time. And I was like, that's Cad Bane. That has to be Cad Bane. We never had closure. Like everyone assumed he died because he just like fell off the face of the earth with Clone Wars. It was like there was no death scene. There was no indication that he died. We just stopped seeing him. He just disappeared. And then he shows up again. And I thought that was great because Cad Bane is one of my favorite bounty hunters like so far. Like when I was introduced to him in Clone Wars, I was like, this is the badass. Like this is what all the bounty hunters want to aspire to be. Is like he is the true like western desperado. I love him. So to have him come back is really exciting, and I hope, because Boba Fett, let's go back to Boba Fett real quick. Boba Fett still didn't have spurs when he was walking around. I still think that was Cad Bane. I think Cad Bane is going to show up in the Book of Boba Fett. That is how I feel about it right now after seeing all this, because the spurs and just like that cowboy desperado is like, man, that's Cad Bane. How could it not be? Still holding true to that. Holding true to it.
Did you know that when I was looking up stuff for this episode that Seth Green does the voice of Toto, Cad Bane's
Yes, I knew.
Droid?
I learned that.
I did not know that.
I learned that when I went looking for who voiced Cad Bane when I was introduced to him in Clone Wars.
That is so fun. And yeah, they brought Seth Green back to do it again, which I love Cad Bane's droid. It's one of the best droids in Star Wars.
Yeah, he's very fun.
Well, that episode actually had a lot of meat on the bone, because when we learned that Boba was Alpha and Omega is Omega, if you will.
Yep.
We noticed that there was a decommissioned cloning facility. The name of the planet's escaping me. It's not Bespin like Tim and I wanted it to be. There were experiments in there for various different species. The one that fell out of the tank looked like your average gray alien from, you know,
It looked like a Kaminoan, I thought, that came out.
It was very tall, so it could be.
It was like
long-necked.
It looked like they were cloning themselves.
Which is super interesting if that holds up. That's wild stuff. But it also reminded me of what we saw in Mandalorian at the Imperial base on... what's the planet called?
I know what you're talking about, but yeah. I still think that's Cloud City.
It's not. They said it's not.
Son of a bitch. Are you sure?
I forget. Yeah, I looked it up. It's not Cloud City.
But it looks just like it.
Well, the planet is the same situation where the planet is a gas giant and they're
mining
above
the atmosphere.
Yeah, for whatever materials and whatnot.
I hate it. I really wanted that to be Cloud City. I was hoping for a tie-in.
Of nine. Bad Batch. I'm looking up the name of it. But yeah, it's not Bespin, sorry.
Well, that's a bummer because I really thought it was
Boravio. Yeah. Is the name of the planet. Boravio. Whatever's going on in that cloning facility, they made a big deal to go out of the way to show us what was in those tanks numerous times. Reminded me of what was going on in that episode of Mandalorian a lot.
I wonder if that just shows that the Kaminoans had other cloning facilities outside of Kamino,
which would be interesting to lore,
right? And they would play. And I wonder. And again, to our point when this all started, is this how they tie in stuff to the Mandalorian? And could that Imperial facility that was there on the planet, the volcanic planet. Could that be another Kaminoan cloning facility that was abandoned and then restarted?
I'll take it one step further. What if Kamino's cloning facility was basically tied up making Sifo Dyas's order of those clones?
Yeah.
And they were doing other experiments elsewhere because that planet was just being used for
That wouldn't surprise me. Republic. Like they're cloners. That's what they do. They're not. I mean, in any large production world, Kevin, if you were in charge, would you stop production on everything else that you were doing to focus on one large order? Or would you subdivide the factory into working like directly on one thing and then still working on R&D and other things?
I'd expand so I could still continue my research and, you know, make a better product or a more advantageous product in this scenario. But the Kaminoans are up to something.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I want to learn more about that, and I 100% think it ties into Mandalorian because there's literally no reason to have Dr. Pershing show up with the logo of the Kaminoans on his jacket, and then we don't really get an explanation, and then we go back in time to Bad Batch, and they're teasing us again. There's something with cloning going on, and I know you hate this explanation, but I really feel like it ties into Snoke and the Emperor because the Emperor clones himself in Legends. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, I know. I just, like, I really want the cloning to be more... I want it to be more meaningful, and I want it to be more, like edgy, dark side, like, Sith-level kind of, like, stuff, and the stuff that we've been seeing with the Kaminoan, like, we haven't seen that yet.
I think that's where it's going, though. I think that the clone... Like, the Emperor is trying to either create more... Force users that he can manipulate.
That's what I think.
Or clone himself. The Emperor's son is a clone, by the way. I didn't know that.
No, I knew that.
Rey's dad? Yeah. I didn't know that Rey's dad was a clone.
He's a failed clone.
So interesting. So there's way more to this whole clone
thing.
Yeah,
so it's just... So, I mean, like, so in theory, then Palpatine is her dad, not his son. It's not her granddaddy. That is her daddy.
Correct. Also, additionally... I think it would be interesting as the High Republic fleshes out to figure out where was cloning at and who was doing it during that
era.
We knew the
Kaminoans were still alive in episode 7 because Ben threatens what's his face, the guy from Harry Potter. He threatens him to bring back the clones. So there's still an operation. The cloning is still happening even in episode 7. Even with the rise of the new empire, so
Kamino gets destroyed at some point because there is a battle of Kamino, but which could be how Bad Batch ends. But
are you sure you're not talking about the battle of Kamino that happens in Clone Wars?
No, there's that one. But Kamino does get destroyed at one point. There's pictures of it. There's stuff online. I think it's from a comic or something where Kamino gets destroyed by the Empire, which I think at some point the Kaminoans are not going to take their shit anymore and it's going to turn into bad stuff. Furthermore, I think introducing the fact that the Kaminoans do have other cloning facilities completely reinforces what you just said, that it's not just this one. There's probably stuff all over the galaxy that they have, and they probably use different planets for different types of research or different types of manufacturing. Interesting stuff.
It is extremely interesting, Kevin. I'm still trying to find out there's nothing on Wikipedia about the destruction of Kamino, so I'm just trying to figure out what happens there. That'll be interesting. I'll do some research this week, and we'll talk about it next week.
Oh, it's Legends. Whoops.
Oh, well, then there we go. That made no sense.
Okay, so strike everything I said. I was thinking of Legends. Yeah, Legends. Kamino gets destroyed twice in Legends.
Okay, yeah. So because the only battle that we've seen so far is the one where the Separatists actually invade Kamino, but the clones of the Jedi win. So like I would honestly assume. So this is my assumption. I still think Kamino is intact when we go into the rise of the New Resistance. First Resistance.
That makes.
First Order. There we go.
The Resistance and the First Order.
I'm so confused with the new timelines. What do they call that? Is it Rise of the Resistance or is it called Rise of the First Order? I don't remember.
Rise of the First Order, I think.
Okay, so Rise of the First Order. So when we get there, I still think Kamino is still intact. That is my bet.
Rise of the First Order is the latest.
Rise of the era. Resistance is the ride.
Rise of the Resistance is the ride.
I wish they would have some fluidity there.
I cannot wait to see your face on that ride.
Oh, man. I can't wait for 2025 when I'm allowed to go in there.
Fucking that damn mouse.
Stupid mouse.
Keeping you out.
Oh, you can't have your annual pass yet? Not yet.
Hey, my family's laziness paid off because we ended up not canceling it. So
I'm so mad. There's even like there's all these talks on the website about like and what if you decided to close your annual pass during the pandemic? I'm like, that's me. And they're like, sorry, you're out of luck. Like, thanks, mouse.
Oh, mouse.
Anyways.
Yeah, it's interesting, and there's more story to tell, and I don't even know.
I feel
when this we'll get a full picture of this.
That's
it
the whole thing.
Years.
I feel so lost right now with Bad Batch. I was really hoping we'd get more out of the storytelling. I really feel like this is just another fun project for Filoni right now.
I think it's the Clone Wars season he wasn't allowed to make. I think the characters in the Bad Batch are awesome. I think them as individual characters are terrific. I love the relationship with Omega, but it's very reminiscent of Grogu and Din. So it feels like it's almost like we've heard this story before.
Yeah,
and
Hunter and Omega are definitely getting this like big brother, little sister like vibe. Like he's definitely like looking out for her. She looks up to him. And then like her and Wrecker, like all of the her connection with all of the different clones are really interesting. But like we still haven't touched like still people. And it's not just me. People still believe that she's force sensitive.
I do too.
We know that she's as pure as it gets when it comes to a clone. She's a one to one, like better than any first generation. She has no modifications that we know of. Like, but that's the whole thing is like we've gone 10 episodes and we still don't know anything about her other than she is the polar opposite to Boba Fett. And so that is interesting. And I wonder if that means that we could potentially see Omega in the Book of Boba Fett. Like that's the only thing that I could think of right now that we've gotten a hint of that maybe we skimmed over or maybe missed. Is that
it's like
maybe,
an older?
Yeah, maybe there's maybe version. They're yeah. setting her up for Book of Boba. I don't know. Kevin, you found a really interesting article about some like excerpt about Omega or about clones in general.
Oh yeah. Oh crap. I don't have that queued up. But yes. Where is that article? I sent it to you yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I didn't put that in my show notes, Tim.
Oh crap.
Here it is. Oh, the one where Hondo it accidentally explains Omega's existence in
It's not Omega directly. He's telling a story of when he met a pair of clones.
I'm trying to find the actual thing he says. So it's in one of the novels. It doesn't say the name here. That's from CBR. Where's the excerpt that there's like literally they put the excerpt that he said in here and I can't find it.
Thankfully, Max can cut out this dead time.
She's one of two clones that were created to help Kolak Prue with his research, something she is reluctant to share with Hondo. The fact that she's a clone makes her rebellion against Kolak Prue even more impressive, especially since she's working against years of training and conditioning to protect the galaxy. The nature of her birth becomes apparent when the group confronts Kolak Prue and meets her fellow clone. While the two could be twins, Han immediately points out that Maho and the other woman who Hondo labels Evil Maho are both clones. So they meet two clones that are also an Alpha and Omega.
Right.
Similar to this, but this takes place much, much after Bad Batch.
Right. But so all it's doing is it's essentially a clone dyad. And right. I was thinking about this more is that so they took essentially again, it's this yin and yang thing. Like they are one person, right? They're Django. Right. But like everything good with Django goes to Omega and all of the bad qualities go to Alpha, they go to Boba, which right. I think is really funny because the two together just make Django. They are all the good and bad qualities of Django. So to think of like them introducing this again, another dyad mechanic into the realm of Star Wars could be confusing when we start getting like good and bad versions of clones now. Like, what is this? This is a completely different take on cloning. Again, getting into more of like the mysticism of like the force and like how all this works. Like, now you can separate like good and bad qualities of people and like make them really good or really evil.
Well, if the force moves through all living things, that would include clones, because even though they're created in a lab, they're still alive.
Most definitely.
The ability to harness the force is definitely something a clone can do. But additionally, if there's dark Sith sorcery involved, then the ability to manipulate.
Yeah, well, but that's the whole thing. But is that a part of it? Like, for them to do this, like, was it really? Did they use the Force at all? Was a Jedi involved in the creation of Alpha and Omega? I don't know. It'd be really interesting.
We saw dead Shakti.
Well, we knew that she was gonna die, but we don't know her overall involvement on Kamino. We knew that she was there to train clones. But outside of that, she could have been involved in much more. Like, the Jedi Council could have had her doing more.
Right. They could have taken her blood like they did with Grogu. Like, who knows?
I mean, maybe she was there. Maybe. What if, Kevin, the Jedi Council commissioned her to actually make Force-sensitive clones? What if they saw the death and destruction of their own, and they were tired of losing Jedi? And so they're like, let's just make clones that we can just use as cannon fodder. We'll teach them. We'll train them.
What if it was also Dooku? What if it was also part of Dooku's original order?
Oh, shit. No, because like, I don't think so.
Hear me out.
OK,
the Emperor is like 20 years ahead of us at all times. Oh, right.
He is playing 5D chess. Yes.
Yeah. So would that be so far-fetched that he would send his apprentice to do this 20 years before any of us would even have known that this was possible?
Not really. Like, no, yeah.
I don't know. Theory crafting is the best part of Star Wars.
I enjoy it. That's my favorite part, because it's always fun when you hit gold and you didn't know it until after the fact. You're like, I was right. I did it.
I was right.
Yeah, and so like that's always the fun part of Star Wars, and like maybe that's why we haven't gotten the big news like bomb dropped on us yet when it comes to like everything going on. Maybe this is the fun part for even the creators, is allowing their fan base to really just run wild with what's going on, and that's why they're just being so secretive and just like holding it tight.
I'm encouraged by the fact that they bumped, even though Tim and I can't go now, that they bumped Celebration up to May, because that means they got things to talk about and things they want to show us.
Why can't we go in May?
Because it's 2 weeks before GCX.
We got it, Kevin. We can do it.
We got a book. All right.
I was kidding. I was joking. We're not doing that. No. I will actually lose my hair if we do that.
Yeah, it's like I am not comfortable doing it. And I'm always the one that loves to take risks. So, but 2022 definitely, or 2023 definitely. Speaking of palps, October 5th, I have to get Tim an early Christmas gift because Star Wars: The Secrets of the Sith book comes out.
Oh, yes.
Written in the voice of Palpatine himself.
No,
so the book is
way.
Basically,
it's like his diary.
An exploration and celebration of all things dark side, featuring Dark Sidious's thoughts and wisdom regarding force powers, Sith warriors, and more, complete with gorgeous, fully painted art. Hear me out. This is where they start to make things canon quietly.
Oh,
Revan,
man.
Darth Bane, things like that. Just mentioning them in passing in whatever this is, memoir, however you want to do this. But do you agree, like, this is how they
yeah, 100%. Most definitely, because the people who care about this stuff are the ones that love reading the books.
Look at the art inside of it. I just linked it to you. It looks gorgeous. Also, pictures of Sith, tons of Sith, shrouded in hoods, fighting tons of Jedi.
I want this book so badly.
I'm getting it for you as an early Christmas gift.
Dude, the Sith Order. Legend has it the Jedi Order suffered a deep...
And look,
this is so good.
It looks like a diary, and there's...
It does.
There's
the way he writes it, too. Fear, anger, hate, suffering. The dark side of the Force is fueled by raw emotion. Naive fools who devote themselves solely to the light believe the passion obscure judgment. But those who embrace the dark side see far more clearly. We find strength in our fury. God, dude, this is so good.
Are you just going to have the music on loop the whole time?
Yeah, dude. Well, like, even like this little graphic of like Yoda meditating and then Palpatine like just doing like this force lightning in between his fingers.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
A part of me is like, is this just going to be like a kid's book? But then like the more I'm looking at it, it's like there's some really like, what is it? Oh, they talk about the Eon engine in here. The Eon engine, Kevin. The only way that you would know about the Eon engine is if you played the Darth Vader VR game.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
This is how they bring it all together. You're right. This is how they bring this all together. Yeah, here it is. That during his time on Mustafar, Lord Vader learned of the device designed to bridge the gap between life and death. You didn't get to play the VR game. At one point, he turns the Eon engine on to suck the life out of Mustafar to bring Padme back to life. It's so awesome.
They even explain origins of the Sith Order in here. Legend has it the Jedi Order suffered a deep schism millennia ago, and it puts stuff we already knew, but it's nice to see it in here. Nothing about the Zepho, though.
Well, we don't know what the Zepho are. That's not,
we know
they
that
aren't
light, dark, and balanced.
Yeah, but they're not like a. But I think this is gonna. I think the Zepho were so far gone that even Palpatine might not have even known about them.
Interesting.
That's my take on it. That's how I feel about it.
That Cal was like the first person to figure out.
I think so, because
Zepho,
no one had it. Well, because there was that one Jedi researcher that was out there that we end up getting like
what's her face's master. The lady we travel with, forget her name.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the Zepho are of any interest to Palpatine. I mean, maybe they are, but I mean, like, they're so far long gone. I don't know. I'm very interested by this. Very, very interested.
I'm getting it for you for early Christmas.
Well, thanks.
I also sent Tim this beautiful, gorgeous little Battle of Endor figurine from Sideshow.
I love Sideshow projects. Their products, they're fantastic. My Grogu's from Sideshow, and he's amazing.
It's the Ewoks destroying the AT-ST with, you know, the logs and stuff, but there's a bunch of them in it, and the way
it's so cute. I don't even know the art style, like what you'd call this. It's like just very cartoony. It's very cute.
I want it. Did I mention that I want it?
Yeah, anyway. No, it's only $200. You could pre-order it now. It's available, expected to ship the beginning of 2022. Nice.
I'll probably pre-order it. Probably will.
Well, yeah, because if it's anything like the other products, like they make these by hand. So it takes a while. Yeah, these are all usually hand done. Like my Grogu was hand done.
That sounds like, no, I'm not going to go in there.
Oh, God.
High Republic has a new book. I am two chapters
I've
in.
I've heard that
Rising
it's
Storm.
Very good.
So it starts out with spoilers. It starts out with the Drengir and talking about how the Drengir are going now from planet to planet and just annihilating these planets. But so I'm like, okay, it's going to be about the Drengir. Nope. They flipped the switch and we're right back to the Nihil and we're in a ship with Marcian Roe. So
wait. So, okay. So hold on. So I'm going to ruin this a little bit for myself. So the Drengir are awake.
The Drengir are awake. It's not a passing comment that Avar Chris and Elzar Man are out, you know, devising defense plans against the Drengir because they're literally
statues back.
But they're out from remember the other way they got out?
Right. I assumed that because they're hive, they're a hive mentality. They're not individuals. They're like the Borg.
Right.
When they put the statues back, I assumed that was the epicenter of the Drengir, so it was suppressed.
No,
but even though the main source of it is suppressed, these branches or these like splintered cells can operate on their own. That's interesting.
I think it was too late with the statues. They already awoke them elsewhere.
Yeah.
So yikes. One of the first things they say, you're not ruining anything. It's like literally one of the first things they talk about. That Avar Chris and Elzar Man, they talked about, and this is all in the first chapter, like Elzar Man like got drunk one night and tried to put a move on Avar Chris.
Oh, no. And so, Avar Chris is very much like a monk. She's very holier than thou.
They describe in detail her putting her hand on his chest and be like, what are you doing? So, yeah, they're off to a good start. Marchion was back. It was so good to hear Mark Thompson do Marchion's voice I will finish you. So I actually can't wait now because of the way Mark Thompson delivers Marchion Rowe's voice. I can't wait to see and hear a live action Marchion Rowe.
He's literally Crow from Destiny 2. Like that is how I imagine him, just a lot buffer. Like he doesn't look like Giggs as much.
Marchion Swole, dude.
Marchion Swole.
There's also another book. I think it's a short story called Tempest Runner, also written by Kevin Scott, that it's completely about Lorna D. So I'm going to look more into this and see if I can grab it on Audible today. But it's just about Lorna D. I don't see a release date or anything. So I think it's... Oh, Tempest Runner arrives August 31st. Oh, sorry, just saw it. So I'm excited about that because I would love to... Again, just like the other book is Palpatine's point of view, this is going to be Lorna D's point of view. It also sounds like there's tons of dissent within the Nihil now that Marchion, the Eye, has taken over.
That
basically
makes sense.
And that they introduced the new third. Oh, I forget the ranks. I'm still learning it, but you know how they have the top.
Yeah, they have like Storms and
whatever the top people are. Lorna D and the other two.
Yeah.
They introduced the third one because the other guy died.
Yeah, because he ejected them out of it. Didn't he throw him into space?
After he cut his arm off.
Yeah. I mean, the guy he had it coming, but still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was an addict. And they're talking about this one guy and how he's getting sober because of Marchion. So Marchion, I don't think, is down with the partying.
Oh, he's backing out from all the spice.
Yeah.
So ride the wave.
Yeah. That was so good. excited to dive more into the High Republic. I am ordering Tim the IDW comics so we can read those as well.
Sick.
And then the newer issues of the other ones, but kind of with the show focused on Bad Batch, and then we'll go back to the comics. We got six more weeks of Bad Batch, and then we'll talk about comics again. But other news, SWTOR yesterday, they announced the Legacy of the Sith update. If you've never played SWTOR, highly suggest you give it a try if you're a Star Wars fan. It's really easy to jump into. It has really good stories. Each class has their own story,
mm-hmm.
And you can kind of do a light side or dark side version of those, regardless of which faction you join. But the update is going to dive into stuff that I sent it to him, and he was like, yes.
I was like, oh, yeah, dude.
So we're going back to Manon in the game. Do you know what Manon is from Old Republic? It's the where the Sel'Kath live. It's an underwater planet.
Yes.
So they've invaded Manon. Manon was also the source of Culto in the galaxy. So the Empire is taking it over for the Culto. That wasn't the part that grabbed me. Explore a ruined Sith fortress. The story continues on the planet Elome with the discovery of a ruined Sith fortress that was mysteriously erased from all records. Rumors persist that Darth Malgus, on the hunt for ancient relics throughout the galaxy, may have found something critical to the future of the Jedi and the Sith. The new storyline will be available both as a solo experience as well as multiplayer Flashpoint. Keep in mind, this is the only story running that is not canon.
Yeah.
This is the only thing they have going that's not canon, and they're keeping it going.
That's interesting and also frustrating because I just want them just to flip the switch and just say, nope, we're good. This is canon now. Cause like I really want to get into this and play it, but at the same time, like I really get frustrated when you talk about legend stuff and then canon stuff, and then they don't always coincide with each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you also get to go to level 80. So they're increasing level caps by 5. Mm-hmm. Like, so for me, I would assume like you'd have to be a really high level to even get in there to even try that. Right.
Yeah. But you could do a player boost.
Okay. So like, I mean, like I would love to experience it, but I don't want to grind the game to try it out, but it sounds really interesting.
If you do triple XP month, which they usually do, I think they're going to do it for this. Did they say it in here? They usually do it for Celebration and whatnot. But you can do triple XP month and just do the main story quests. You don't have to do any side quests, and you'll level up really quickly. Mm. Like, I started a new character a few weeks ago, and the first day I played, I was playing it with Hunter. I hit, like, level 16 in 2 hours. So,
oh, wow.
I also know the game inside and out because I've played it since beta. The last thing that grabbed him, and this might be the thing that tips him over, is an obscure Sith cult is harvesting technology from an ancient weapon of terrifying power.
Yeah, the ancient weapon part.
In the new R4 anomaly operation, players need to gather their allies to take down this galactic threat.
It sounds like a raid, right?
You need a operation is a raid. Flashpoints are dungeons. So you'd need someone to drag you through. But they have a baseline story version of the operations, so you can just experience it for the visuals and the story.
Oh,
you don't
so
have
cool.
to like gear up and be the best of the best. Yeah, and there's also a new Duros companion coming, which I found interesting with the Cad Bane showing up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're into SWTOR, definitely look out for this new update. Even the last update was great. You can just play that game for the story. I know it's an MMO. You don't have to play it as an MMO. You can literally play it as Coder 3 if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 18 characters.
Oh my gosh, Kevin.
At level 75.
Ew.
So I like the game a little
bit. Oh my gosh.
Well, I like to do light side and dark side, and then each class has subclasses.
Of
so,
course
you
they
know,
do.
You get a different combat experience. So there's technically there's mirrored classes for each side. So there's technically 8 classes, but you could say 16 because the Republic and Imperials don't act the same way completely, but they are mirror classes, so they are essentially the same. The last thing that we're going to talk about today is Leslie Headland, who's the showrunner for Acolyte, which Tim and I are super excited for Acolyte.
Excited about.
But this scares the out of me.
Okay.
She says that her show will take inspiration from the first entry of the Star Wars prequel trilogy, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. So the first visual video that we're going to get for the High Republic is going to be influenced by one of the worst movies of all time, sans the last 10 minutes. That is terrifying to me.
I don't know what it means.
That's all it says.
I don't.
It's a comment in passing.
That's the weird part, though, is because it's supposed to be the tail end of the High Republic. So
yeah, it's the end. It is the segue to the current era.
I don't know. Okay. So the only thing that I could like when they say influenced, I would assume the time period. So if it's the point in the timeline that we go from the High Republic to the Skywalker saga. That's the official transitional piece. Maybe that's just setting the tone for the Separatist movement. Maybe that's just like showcasing how the Trade Federation came to be, the setting up of all their annexations. Like I wonder if that's what they mean.
The project is still in the first phase of its planned 3-phase rollout. The Acolyte will be showing audiences the final days of the era leading up to the era that the prequel trilogy takes place in. I mean, that could be 100 years difference, so I have
sure.
no idea.
So I wonder if that's just going to really just showcase how we got to that point of where we are ready for a power transition. Palpatine has worked his way into government. Maybe that is what they really start to like focus on there, and maybe the Acolyte works somehow with Palpatine, works with Plagueis. Like wonder if that's where we start to get in, because like I'm starting to read the Plagueis book right now, or I have been on and off, and that's really good.
Yeah, I read Darth Plagueis years ago, and there's some cool stuff.
It's really good in there, man. So maybe that's where we're at. Maybe this is more of like a Darth Plagueis the Wise kind of era.
I don't know.
You know, I
it
mean,
would
like,
have to be before it.
I just don't think that with the title of Acolyte, we're not gonna. I don't think we're gonna have to worry about seeing Gungans or anything like that. I don't think we have to deal with like bad acting and bad scenery. I think they'll still deliver like a really good thing. I think using influence is the bad word.
Hear me out. High Republic era, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to non-canon material, who was alive during this time period? I believe before it, but again, we're not dealing with that canon, is Darth Bane. What if this is about Darth Bane and Darth Xana, and it's just a gigantic debate, and the trailer, you know, and next year or the year after will be what reveals that this is actually a Darth Bane show.
I'd be down for that.
Because there's two Sith that are the most commonly requested to be part of the universe now, mm-hmm. and it's Revan and Bane. There's no other. Like, Vader's the most popular by far, but Revan and Bane are the two most requested Sith. That's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're the dynamic duo when it comes to the dark side. Like, people just love that.
The title would indicate it too, because remember, he's the one that went around the galaxy and killed any other remnant of the Sith that existed besides him and Darth Zanna.
It's just was he alive? Did he live that much longer into the High Republic? Like, are we?
We have no idea, because this is Disney's timeline, not canon. In Legends, he would have existed before the High Republic,
right? But he would have been in the Old Republic. But that's the whole thing.
They can bump it up.
You think so? I feel like they'd piss people off. I feel like they want to keep him to the correct period.
We don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting. Mm. Something to think about.
Thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, no,
wild theory crafting.
Yeah, you definitely threw a curveball.
I'm just upset that she mentioned Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I think mentioning Phantom Menace was fine. I think using influence, I think that's the part where you're like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah. One more thing before we go that has nothing to do with Star Wars. And Tim had a real laugh about this. I finally caught up in the MCU. And I watched Endgame last weekend. What an emotional roller coaster between Endgame and Infinity.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought it was funny how we were like, welcome to what we all experienced two years ago.
Yeah, thanks for showing up, Kevin.
Trauma you'll never truly recover from.
Never.
Man, but the thing was, too, is I knew what was going to happen for the most part. There was a few things I didn't know about, but because internet, I knew Tony was going to die.
Yeah, of course. Surprise.
I didn't know how Tony was going to die, and it was still gut-wrenching and heartbreaking.
Yeah, he turned himself into a microwave and cooked his insides.
Oh, to save everyone,
because
he is Iron Man.
Do you think at some point, as his internal temperature increased, that he became perfectly cooked? Do you think they could have, like...
Too soon.
Okay, I was just wondering.
For me.
Oh. Do you think he's
not
just,
you.
Like pulled pork at
and
that
then,
point?
And then we had a work meeting the next day... And Ben wore an I Love You 3000 shirt to the meeting.
So,
and I lost it.
So messed up, dude.
I wasn't ready.
I can't believe he pulled that one on you. That's abusive. That's borderline abuse. Should call HR. You definitely need to call HR.
Brutal. But I loved it. I finished MCU. I'm going to move on to the TV shows now. But
nice. Welcome.
I loved it.
Thanks for catching up.
I heard the new episode of Loki is phenomenal.
Oh, dude. So good. Hurry up.
Don't worry. I'll talk about it with you in 2 years.
Hurry up.
Thank you so much for checking out episode 48 of Star Wars and Scotch. We'll be back next week with another episode. We hope you have a fantastic 4th of July if you live in the United States. I hope you had a great Canada Day if you live north of the border. And if you're anywhere in the world, you know,
yeah.
I hope you're
England.
Doing fantastic.
Suck it. We won.
Yep.
No, we love you too. You guys are great.
You can check out. I used to do that to Bife. I would add him and be like, happy we won day and stuff like that. And then people would be like, oh, America is such a great place. I'm like, it's a joke. Calm down.
People suck.
A few years ago, he was here and because it was before GCX and I was lighting fireworks and quoting the Declaration of Independence.
I remember
him,
that.
And it's one of my most fond memories, having the ability to do that to a Brit. You can check out Tim. He's live every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern on, I almost said Twitch. Wow, that would have been so bad.
Yeah, you can find
fb.gg.
me. There you go.
fb.gg/darkness429 and darkness429 everywhere on the internet. Everything I do is through RareDrop, so just go over to raredrop.co and check it out. If you're new to Star Wars and Scotch, plenty of episodes for you to listen to. Go back and listen to the Mandalorian episodes to see if we were right about stuff. Clone Wars, there's all sorts of cool stuff. Theory crafting, go enjoy the series. But yeah, we are excited to be back after our little break from GCX and make more Star Wars content, which we had a meeting about doing Star Wars stuff yesterday and Monday with Tim. And we're excited. So thank you so much. And as always, you say it, Tim.
May the force be with you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.